Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe or download button, be it on the YouTube or on the podcast app you're using, Podbean, Stitcher, iOS, whatever. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where we have a lot of reward tiers. I wanted to say bevy, but I think I've been using bevy too often.
I haven't noticed.
Really? Mm-hmm. Well, we have a bevy of reward tiers ranging from $1 all the way up to $200,000. If you kick in 200, if you're a billionaire out there who loves Going In Raw, $200,000 will get Larson a two-sweet. Good old Steve here.
Only way it's going to happen.
Yeah, pretty much. And we're also available at ProWrestlingTees.
Yeah.
.com/Going In Raw. That's where we have our designs. I got to re-upload the Shower Me With Gold logo shirt because apparently the one you I sent them was corrupted.
Yes.
Appropriately. Anyways, I've got a Flying Brian card right here, Larson.
You do. Before we get started on this week's news, programming announcement.
Yeah.
This next Monday.
Yes.
I don't have the date in front of me, the exact date, but the Monday after Friday.
17th.
We're going to try something a little new with our Monday news show. We're going to do it live, live streaming on YouTube.
Going In Raw live. Now, generally speaking, we do all of our recap shows, Raw, SmackDown, and NXT 205 Live. We do those exclusively live for our patrons out there.
Correct.
This is going to be live, open to everybody.
Correct.
If you're a patron, you'll have access to the Discord server
correct
address so that you can have priority questions shot our way. And, of course, we'll have, we're going to be taking questions.
Yes. I mean, the Monday the news public show is always trying to emulate like a sports radio show.
Right.
So rather than just solicit questions from Patreon, mm-hmm, like we were doing, we just thought, do it live,
mm-hmm,
get questions from the chat, from the Discord, see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll just see where it takes us. It's our channel. We can do what we want.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. So we'll start at 11:30 a.m. Pacific time.
That's right. That is
on Monday the 17th.
2:30 p.m. Eastern time.
Correct. You have ice?
A little piece of celery. That's the one downside of eating celery. Is that
the strings
stuck in your teeth.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So let's kick this off with a story that we all kind of saw coming, to be honest with you, and it's probably going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, we're talking about the story that's dominated the wrestling landscape for the last week, the incident between Alberto El Patron, Alberto Del Rio, and Paige at the Orlando airport this last Sunday, July 9th.
When we talk about Going In Raw to friends, you know, in terms of what, you know, when did things start going good for Going In Raw, we always point to June of last year, the video we did. It's when we took our channel exclusively pro wrestling. We were doing gaming stuff before then, and we said, you know what, this isn't working. We love pro wrestling. Let's just start doing all pro wrestling stuff.
I know where you're going. You're taking the long road to it.
And I'm taking the scenic route, and if it fails, it fails. And we started the Patreon. And then in June, we did the news story. We covered the Paige arrest
in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas. And that we saw our subs started going skyrocketing. The numbers were really good. And then we are where we are now, and things are really good. It all started with that Paige video. And she was with Alberto Del Rio at the time. They were still with the WWE. Well, they're both with the WWE at the time. And here we are over a year later, back on Alberto Del Rio and Paige. This time there is audio. Del Rio has put the company he's currently with in a bit of a pickle.
Yes.
And we're going to cover all that today, right now.
Yeah, let's go through a timeline of what's happened this past week.
Okay.
Monday morning, I'm guessing, TMZ reports that Alberto was being investigated for domestic battery after an altercation with a woman at the Orlando airport on Sunday, July 9th. And at the time, Orlando police hadn't made any arrests but said that the matter was under investigation.
Right.
Later on that day, Paige went to Twitter and tweeted, quote, we got the
emphasis
cops involved.
On the we,
yes,
yeah.
We got the cops involved. I'm crying because I found out bad family news and a lady tries to take a picture. She gets angry, throws a drink. Please leave us alone. That's it.
Right.
And I believe after Paige's tweet, TMZ obtained audio from the altercation. And it's Paige and Del Rio yelling at each other. She says, I'm trying to get away from you. Leave me alone.
So it quite clearly contradicts what Paige had, yes. Paige's explanation. This
yes.
was quite obviously Paige and Alberto Del Rio getting into it.
Yes.
On Tuesday, and the audio is out there. It's on TMZ Sports. You can
yes.
find it. It's pretty easy to find. There's a lot of back and forth. She's saying, he's saying he's going to press charges. She's saying, call the cops. You're abusive, blah, blah, blah. On Tuesday, Heavy interviewed a witness to the altercation, apparently the woman who recorded the argument, and she mentioned that Paige called Del Rio, quote, abusive, and had been doing, quote, doing coke for 2 days straight, and that Del Rio had, quote, ruined my life, ruined my career. Wednesday morning, Global Force Wrestling announced, quote, in a statement, Global Force Wrestling has indefinitely suspended Alberto El Patron, effective immediately until the investigation is resolved following a recent incident in Orlando, Florida.
Shortly after that, two of Paige's siblings
brothers.
Went to Facebook to voice concerns for their sister.
Mm-hmm.
Her brother Zach said, quote, she's with a control freak who thinks he's a tough guy because he beats my sister and has money to cover his tracks. Paige's half-brother Roy said, quote, we got pictures from the last 6 months, bro, of her beating. I'm glad she's finally sticking up for herself. The reason they're fighting yesterday is because my uncle is on his last legs and is in the hospital, and he wished him dead. Him, I'm assuming, or
Alberto,
he
yeah.
was Alberto.
Yeah.
Following all this, Paige, again, went to Twitter on Wednesday
mm-hmm.
and updated her side of the story. There's a lot to this. So.
Changed her side of the story.
Yes.
Yeah.
So please bear with me. I'll just read the tweets in their entirety. Or I'll read one, you can read the other.
That sounds good.
Okay. Quote, Alberto didn't want me to say full story because he didn't want people to know, and I didn't want people to know that I threw a drink on him. But the full story is, I had a phone call saying my uncle's in a bad way. I'm crying outside the restaurant. I go in, Alberto is hugging me. I'm a little sensitive and we start bickering about something so small. I say I'm leaving, and he says something that I won't write on here, but it wasn't nice, and I, even though I shouldn't have done it, I threw a drink in his face because I was so angry. Again, shouldn't have done it. It was in front of a lot of people. I walk out. He follows me a few seconds later and gets the cops and security, and a crazy lady decides to leave whatever she's doing to follow us and invade our privacy in a completely low way only low-life people would do.
She continues. Anyways, it was me who was being held for battery charges because I threw a drink on him. No, he never touched me, and no, I never hit him with a glass 3 times like the internet in all their glory is making out. It's completely ridiculous how one story can spiral out of control. Oh, and guess what, internet? He smelt like beer because I threw a beer on him. Nothing more, nothing less. No one got arrested. There's no mugshots. There's no charges. Nothing. The horrible, disgusting human being of a lady decided she wanted to make money out of our misfortune. I wish people would give us the privacy we deserve. I know we won't get it, but I wish that would happen.
Per Wrestling Sheet, contacted Orlando police, and still, mm-hmm. as of 2:30 or so Thursday, Orlando police only lists Alberto as a potential suspect. And again, the whole thing's still under investigation.
Yeah.
Yet in the latest Wrestling Missouri newsletter, Meltzer points out that apparently Alberto and Paige are still together.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously it's a sad situation. There, you know,
yeah.
people have noted on Twitter as well that, you know, for a while now, there have been pictures on social media that Paige posted of herself. Where, you know, not intending, I don't think, not drawing attention to it, but the fact that it's obvious that it's there, that she has bruising on her, Dave Meltzer pointed out on Wrestling Observer Radio that, you know, Alberto Del Rio has posted pictures of himself with bruising on him. I mean, they're wrestlers. She hasn't been able to wrestle.
No, she's been recuperating from neck surgery.
Yeah. So who knows if that means anything. It's a sad situation. Like I said, you know, that it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. I mean, these things generally don't just resolve themselves.
Yeah.
You know, Alberto has had a history of seemingly being inebriated. The most recent one was following the rap battle on SmackDown when the Usos made the rated R reference to Xavier Woods, the sex tape that she was involved with Brad Maddox and Paige and Xavier Woods. And Alberto takes to Twitter and says, you know,
He challenges them all to a fight Triple at his restaurant in San Antonio. And gives that, the address and the time. Yeah,
exactly.
And then for a while, I don't know, late last year, early this year, he seemed to be getting in a lot of fights.
Yeah, yeah, there was that too. So Paige's story changes, doesn't add up. You know, we haven't really heard anything from Alberto Del Rio about this. Jeff Jarrett, in a conference call, basically said, you know, he's suspended, but for now we're going to keep the title on him. Or no, I'm sorry, he said no decision has been made about that. We're going to keep investigating the matter. When asked if this is from Cage Side Seats, they have a bit of a rundown of the call. When asked if Global Force Wrestling would consider editing El Patron out of Impact episodes, which have already been taped, apparently there is five remaining in the current slate. Jeff Jarrett said no, believing it would, quote, further damage the brand.
I don't understand that.
Not really the right wording to use there, Jeff. You know, it's understandable. You know, El Patron apparently is featured pretty heavily in the latest episodes of Impact. They can't, I would think you could say this. No, because logistically, it simply wouldn't work for the demands of the TV show.
Yes.
You could say that. You could say in a number of things. Saying that it would further damage the brand, I think that's what he means in terms of, well, if we edit them out, we're going to have episodes that are like, you know, I think it's a two-hour show.
Yeah, it'd be like 90 minutes.
Exactly.
Maybe, and there'd be huge plot holes.
Exactly. Like, it wouldn't make any sense. It's impossible to do, unfortunately, at this point. Just saying it would further damage the brand. Bro, your brand is about as damaged as it can be.
Yeah.
Like, you can't further damage the brand.
Not really.
And you going on about the Hardys, which we'll go on in a bit, further damages your brand.
Yeah, it doesn't help any.
So I don't want to hear about your brand being damaged. GFW isn't a brand, all right?
No, it's more of an idea of a brand.
Exactly.
You told me earlier that you were listening to Wrestling Observer Radio this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they had something to say about this whole thing?
Oh, I mean, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, their main point was, I mean, it's a fairly obvious one. Alberto Del Rio has a history of erratic behavior like this.
Yes.
Either being inebriated and getting on Periscope and challenging Triple H to a fight, or getting on Twitter and challenging Triple H to a fight. Seemingly doing everything he can to get his girlfriend fired from the company that she's employed by.
Yes.
And this is the guy that Jeff Jarrett has decided to roll with as your champion.
Mm-hmm.
If this was the WWE, he would be stripped of the title immediately.
Yes.
Be placed on suspension immediately.
Yes.
And granted, I understand that the production schedule is different and it's more difficult for them to do this, but there would be immediate action. They declined to sign Moose because in 2009, he was arrested for a domestic incident that I looked up, and I don't believe, I couldn't see if he was ever actually charged with anything. But it was, from what I understand, she claims that Moose pushed her on the stairs. He spat at her. It seemed to be a fairly, and look, domestic abuse, domestic battery, it's not a minor thing regardless, but it wasn't, you know, both people declined medical help or anything like that. And there hasn't been a peep of it ever since then. That was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And the WWE still said, no, we're good.
Yeah.
According to rumor. I don't know how much of that has actually been confirmed that that's the reason they didn't sign Moose. But Moose is a hell of a talent.
Yeah.
He's good charisma, good looking guy. And now he's a champion in GFW. So the fact that they would go all in Have we ever heard anything in terms of Bobby Lashley's reputation? I've never heard anything. Like, Bobby Lashley, from what I understand, I haven't seen, but I don't recall him ever being in trouble with the law.
Yeah, I don't recall that either.
You know? And they had an opportunity to keep the title on him, build somebody, build up Moose even more, and give it to him. But for whatever reason, Jeff Jarrett loves Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I do not get that. Doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
So why they would want to,
well, to go back to
build their brand around him.
I heard this thing about Lashley. It's not, you know, like him getting in trouble at all. It's just I think there's people in his camp that wanted him to stop pro wrestling and focus exclusively on MMA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that had any bearing in terms of who they put the belt on.
Oh, is that a recent thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, that could be.
In terms of Slammiversary, I don't know if that had any bearing whatsoever in the booking decisions.
Maybe. I was using him. That could totally be. But I was also kind of just using him as an example of a guy who seemingly has his head on right.
Yeah.
And you have a good track record with him.
And he's an established star.
Like, it's possible to have that. That's a great example of a guy at top of your company, you know?
Yeah.
Biggest charisma guy in their company right now is Ethan Carter III.
Yeah.
God damn it. That dude is a superstar.
Yeah, he is.
He really is.
And he was champ for a while.
They didn't do anything with it. Put the title back on him.
Mm-hmm.
I get that you have Alberto Del Rio. He's a former WWE World Champion, WWE Champion.
But it's not as if he moved the needle in WWE at all.
Right, exactly. You know? And so it just, and on top of that, it makes your company look like an also-ran.
Yeah.
A dumping ground for former stars.
Yeah.
As opposed to building up guys like EC3 even more than they already are. And he's a big star over there. So that they would do that shows me, as a viewer of Impact Wrestling, you can watch my reviews at MF Steve here, YouTube channel. That company still can't figure out how to get their heads out of their asses by booking this guy as your big unified champion.
I know. And then keeping the belt on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, even with the idea that they have 5 weeks of TV left with him at the top, stripping the title from him, after you listen to that audio, that's enough. Public relations-wise, that's bad. Well, even if you didn't get arrested, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
You know, our champion getting on Twitter and threatening and challenging.
That's awful.
That's good enough. You're gone. You're done.
Yeah, that's
awful. We're good.
Awful.
We're good with you. You know, until Impact shows that they can be a company that's serious about their business,
mm-hmm.
nobody's going to take them serious.
Exactly.
That's the bottom line. Now, whenever anybody watches Impact Wrestling, they're going to be looking at Alberto Del Rio, still with his Alberto Del Rio trunks, and think, oh, this guy here, yeah, he's the page guy. He's the guy who, you know, has gotten into altercations with Paige.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's a bummer of a situation.
It is.
Jeff Jarrett doesn't seem to be helping matters. But I never really figured he would.
No. Speaking of Jeff Jarrett not helping matters, let's move on to our next story.
Yeah.
It seemed like earlier this week we might have some clarity, at least more so than we had in previous weeks or months, about the Hardys finally being able to use the broken gimmick in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on Raw, we all saw the Hardys drop numerous references to the broken universe, and that sparked a lot of speculation.
Yep.
Ourselves included. That they either had or were close to acquiring the IP from Global Force Wrestling.
One of these days, we're going to be done talking about the Broken Universe on this show, but it's not today. It's not today.
But during a conference call Wednesday, same one where he spoke about Del Rio, Jeff Jarrett was asked if the Hardys had gotten the IP. His answer, no, they haven't.
No, they haven't. Matt Hardy's wife, Rebby, who typically she goes to Twitter quite a bit to voice her frustrations about various things, including the Broken Universe IP. She went once again to Twitter stating, "We had agreement terms as of last week, included non-disparagement clause to the tune of $5,000 every time I tweet something about TNA. But according to Jeff Jarrett, there is nothing."
Matt chimed in as well, saying, "True. Ed Nordholm and Leonard Asper could end this issue. We've been willing to. Rebby's been peaceful for weeks while they blatantly stall." So PW Insider had a long write-up about everything that's been going on. And they reported that a deal had been reached in principle between the Hardys and Impact, and that was mediated by Billy Corgan, who I believe the Hardys are friendly with.
Mm-hmm.
And according to PW Insider, all, quote, all sides would have released a statement wishing each other well and would have agreed to no longer comment on each other publicly. The Hardys would have been able to utilize the broken gimmick, and one would assume Anthem Media would have received some sort of payment in exchange. And the report goes on, the deal was then drafted by the Hardys' lawyer and sent to Anthem Media's Ed Nordholm to sign off on, but for whatever reason, several weeks have gone by without a response from Nordholm or any indication that the agreement was actually going to be signed. And then one source stated that when Nordholm received the agreement in writing, he claimed that it wasn't what the two sides agreed upon, but confirmed that since that point, there had been no additional communication with the Hardy side.
So, I mean, whenever there's a he said, she said, whatever you want to call this, it's, you know, you can't, it's difficult to say this guy's right, this guy's wrong. For all we know, the Hardy's lawyer did draft up an agreement that wasn't what they agreed upon and sent it
entirely possible.
We have no idea. So yeah, all the teasing we got with the broken stuff. I mean, this is the kind of thing that can, you know, it's literally going to be one day. It's just going to be resolved. You know, it's just, it's a bit surprising that it's taking this long. We don't know who's, I mean, I guess in the right or in the wrong, if you consider there a right or wrong here.
Yeah.
I mean, if two sides came to an agreement and when the actual agreement was laid out in writing, that agreement wasn't
what one party thought it was going to be,
then maybe that party was in the wrong. I don't know.
Anyways,
I mean, you know, updated.
Seems like we're about to wait a bit longer if you really want that broken gimmick in WWE. But I just wonder at what point is it going to take so long that people are, just won't care?
Never.
I don't know.
Never, man. Come on. That's never going to come to pass.
Well, I've said this before. You know, how are they going to introduce it? I guess, is Matt going to come out one day just suddenly broken? No backstory? No introduction?
They'll set it up. They'll set it up.
But then how do you explain all the references to broken and deletion and such?
Short memory in the WWE, dude. All they got to do, once, as soon as it's signed, sealed, and delivered, all right, book these guys to really hurt Matt Hardy. The fact that he's been teasing it, you could say, is, oh, it's starting to seep through.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying from the perspective of people who have zero idea what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That aren't familiar with the storyline.
Well, to them, it'd be new anyways.
I know, but if he just showed up on Raw one day and just started doing Broken Matt with no introduction to it, no origin, no backstory, it could be jarring.
Yeah, I don't think, you just set the storyline in place, you know. That's all you do.
Five Shatter Machines from the Revival. He's broken.
Boom. Exactly. That's all you gotta do. One of those, and people are gonna mark out, dude. I don't care if it's 2 years from now. I think that the anticipation was. I mean, it. What the? I think the greater point in my eyes is how long can the Hardys be the Hardys, and people be okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
How long can they stay fresh and not a nostalgia act? And people be okay with that. They're still super over.
Yeah.
They're the Hardys. As long as they can still wrestle, I think people are going to be okay with them being around.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the Dudleys, the problem with the Dudleys was that they were strictly a nostalgia act.
Yes.
And that boggles my mind. I think there was a lot more money to be made with them.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot more money to be made with Bully Ray himself, and mm-hmm. they were close to pulling the trigger on mm-hmm. that. But to go back to the old costumes, which the Hardys aren't doing, to go back to the old way of doing things, I mean, the Hardys have, like, new shirts. I don't remember the Dudley boys having, like,
I think
new
they just
gear.
No, they did, I think.
They might have. But they were doing the what's up thing.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody cares about that shit anymore. You know, I mean, that's funny once, and it's like, okay, they're back. But then to not do anything, the fact that we know that the WWE, it's like a carrot to the WWE. That's why they're going to keep the Hardys relevant.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they had no real incentive to keep the Dudleys relevant other than using them to put over others.
The Dudleys were interesting at one point during the return is when they said, we're not going to use tables anymore.
Yeah, that was.
But
that,
they really
didn't go
anywhere with it.
Exactly.
They didn't do anything.
Exactly. So, I mean, look, man, in 2 years, Jeff Hardy looks the exact same. Jeff Hardy does not age. And that dude still takes bumps that make me scratch my head. Mm-hmm. How does he do that? Matt Hardy is getting up there.
Yeah. He doesn't move as well as he used to.
He moves kind of goofy these days.
You know, he always moved a little stiffly.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
But it's more stiff now.
It's more stiff now. I think the window on him is probably a bit less than the window on Jeff. Oh, yeah, although something tells me those guys are probably going to want to stick together. When one retires, I could see the other retiring. But I mean, it honestly, that's all it depends on. It depends. I mean, if you know, if they keep on teasing the broken thing, they're going to have to keep on taking a beating. So I don't know. It needs to resolve at some point.
Yes.
I mean, they can't always continue this. This might end up being the, what was that Orson Welles movie he was going to do? Heart of Darkness. Yeah, he was going to do Apocalypse Now before they did Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, but he was actually going to adapt Heart of Darkness, not right. Apocalypse
yeah,
Now.
Yeah, exactly. So it might be the great thing that never happened.
Could be.
And then it'll be on 5 years from now, it'll be on WWE.com.
Yes.
The entire story in a one paragraph blurb.
I know.
All right, and so our last news story about Enzo Amore.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, nobody likes me.
Well,
I got kicked off a bus. It
certainly seemed like Roman Reigns wasn't a fan of him at this particular point. So according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Enzo Amore has a lot of heat on him right now.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, there was an incident on the tour bus when the talent was traveling together several weeks ago, maybe when they were in Europe.
Okay.
The Wrestling Observer haven't been able to confirm the details as to why this happened, although it had to do with business, and it upset many to the point that Roman Reigns kicked Enzo off the bus, and for the time, he was given the Miz treatment, and that is when you're not allowed to dress in the dressing room.
When did Miz get that treatment?
Years ago, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Again, Wrestling Observer newsletter says, the line where he talked about his real life being better than his fantasy life was something of a shoot in the sense that he's now based in Los Angeles and having a great time in his non-wrestling life. He was also legit not happy at the breakup of the team because in reality, it's hard to see what his prospects are on his own given the way he's been portrayed as a guy who was a joke when facing real competition. That's all according to Wrestling Observer newsletter.
Ouch, man. Oh, to be that self-aware. Oh, I mean, that's always the question we get is where do you see Enzo going from here?
Well, no, this is like this last bit about him being a joke against real competition. That's just Meltzer's analysis. I don't think that's Enzo's thoughts.
He was also legit not happy about the breakup of the team. And then I imagine the rest is speculation.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's not hard to come to that conclusion.
No.
Because he's right. Where does he go from here?
I know.
That's the question we get. Where does he go?
Yeah. I mean, that's literally the first thing we asked ourselves when they broke up.
Yeah.
Even before that, when there was rumors that they were going to break them up. Yeah, WWE had high hopes for Cass.
Yeah. So far, let me ask you something, I know it's early, but don't have that be your answer. Breakup, good idea or bad idea?
I felt like they left a lot of money on the table by not having them be tag champions first.
For a while.
Yeah.
For a while.
I mean, they sold a lot of merch. I think they had the most merch of anybody.
This was way early.
Yep.
This was way early. This should have been. And then for it to be Cass attacking him from behind in the dark, and then, I did it because you're stupid and you rip. It was way too early. And, you know, we try to look at things. Okay, this is the hand we've been dealt. Now let's comment on it. But that's a crap hand that they dealt. And so, you know, we're trying to look at, okay, how's Cass doing on the mic? How's Enzo doing? What do we see for him?
Yeah, what are the prospects of him on either Raw still, 205 Live,
whatever
the case may be.
But, and then to get kicked off, how do you think they do that? Do you think they stop off at a spot? Does Reigns go to, I'd like to know the step-by-step logistics.
Does he spear somebody out the door of the bus?
Well, that would be ideal. All those people asking us in the comments, can you take Enzo out of your intro? I might have to do that now.
Yeah, ask a question later on.
Okay. Oh, we got to talk about that.
Yeah, we can address that there.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bummer.
Enzo and Cass, they've been friends for a long time, right?
Oh, they're
they've
legit
known each other
friends.
For a long time.
Well, yeah, so their story was they knew each other in elementary school, but they weren't like friends. And then when they both showed up, they showed up at NXT in developmental on the first day at the same, you know, together. And they looked at each other and realized that they had known each other. And then from then on, they were a tandem. They were a duo.
Yeah.
And so And they were never tag champs in NXT, which is weird.
Yeah.
And then they never got it on the main roster.
Nope.
They've only been up for
about a year. We heard that there was rumors they were going to break up, seemingly right after they were called up from NXT.
Yeah.
We always thought, okay, that's a year or at least 2 years down the line. Mm-hmm. We'll give them a good run.
Right.
As tag champions.
Yeah.
And then from there, you know, eventually have them break up.
Come in huge, yeah.
Yeah, they just took that whole year of them actually being a dominant tag team out of the equation.
Yeah. And so they both kind of look weak.
Yeah.
You know, especially now the Big Show coming in and destroying Cass.
Like, I don't know. Cass doesn't seem ready either on the mic or in the ring. Doesn't seem like they really have a character for him other than he's just a heel now.
I know.
So the whole thing seems rushed.
It really does. And so I could totally see why there'd be frustrations.
Oh yeah.
Curious to know exactly how you piss off so many people on a bus that they kick you off, though. Yeah. Enzo started making a lot of fart noises, and Roman Reigns hates fart noises.
Apparently. That's what we said Sin Cara did in Scotland or whatever on the bus to get kicked off.
Because I think there wasn't the report there that he was just being obnoxious.
Yeah, he's making weird noises.
And they literally said weird noises. What's more weird than a fart? Or he's back there. Or when he's back there. Is that you?
No.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, he does seem like, you know, I up until a little bit ago, I was following him on Instagram. And he does seem to have, you know, he hangs out with a lot of, like, hip-hop stars and stuff, like, legit. So he does seem to have a pretty good life. But that life will disappear very quickly once you're not in the WWE anymore.
Well, I mean, say he lives in L.A. Maybe he starts diversifying.
Got myself a studio apartment.
No, like, gets an agent, tries to get some acting work.
Hollywood, what is it, championship wrestling from Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'll be a main eventer.
You know.
Can't teach that.
He's got tons of personality.
Yeah, he does. He does.
He's good on the mic. I don't know if that will transition at all to acting chops, although he cried on cue.
Yeah, yeah.
When Cass revealed himself as the attacker, so.
Yeah.
Maybe Enzo saw this coming, said, okay, what can I do to give myself other options? Move to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
Trying to get an agent, try to get some acting work.
Yeah, could be.
So when if this wrestling thing doesn't pan out.
I'm going to be on Big Brother. Bring Big Brother After Dark live. You can't teach that. Doing shoot interviews on Big Brother After Dark. yeah, and then Roman kicked me, and then Joe kicked me off the bus. Samoa Joe? No, Roman. Who? Joe. That's his name. Joe Annoy. I'm sorry, it's the end of the day. All right, we got questions.
We do have questions.
Jack Dolan, a.k.a. Danger Dolan.
Do you think SmackDown has gone down in quality because Orton has been involved in the main event scene since the Rumble? Orton's feuds have been stinkers, and the opponents he has had are glorified jobbers.
I'll put it this way. I don't think SmackDown has gone down in quality because of that. Because their main event scene really isn't even that. Their main event scene is around the U.S. title. So as long as you sort of just accept that the U.S. title is the best title,
yeah,
then it's all good.
Yeah.
Because Jinder makes for a decent mid-card, upper mid-card heel.
Yeah.
It just so happens that he has the Bruno Hulk Austin Rock belt.
Well, Jinder carries himself like a champion.
Yeah, he really does. Although,
since being given the opportunity, he's really run with it.
I forgot who mentioned this. But this week on SmackDown, when his Floortron started crawling, he was about to step, but he was about to overstep it because he has like those massively long legs. And he had to he didn't stumble.
He had to adjust his pace.
He had to adjust his pace, exactly. Because it was off. It was off this week. It was weird. Usually he stands out there, and then it comes out from behind him. This time it started, and he started, and then it stopped. I don't
feel like there's an obvious cue with that whole
thing.
Yeah,
I know. There doesn't seem to be.
No.
It's weird. He looks great, though.
Oh, yeah.
He's got, back muscles on back muscles.
Yeah, his trapezius are larger than my arms.
They're ridiculous. Anyways. The Maharaja of aggressive style, JB. After noticing the recent booking of former New Japan guys like Finn Balor and The Club, do you believe that WWE is turning off wrestlers who possibly would have considered coming to the WWE. Guys like Anderson and Gallows were great legends in Japan and have not received the same success in WWE. Let me know what you guys think and have a great day. I think, I mean, Finn is treated really well.
Yeah. I mean, people can't be the top of the card all the time. I understand that. The club has just been an interesting case where, I mean, the club is a tag team that seems pretty easy to book. Like, they get the Revival right.
Yeah.
And I understand you can't have them be the same exact tag team.
Right.
But you had, what, 8 months? More than that. Almost, yeah, about a year of the club being on Raw. That could have been, they could have booked them like the Revival and they would have been super over.
Yeah, I know.
And said they had no idea what to do with them.
I know. And then we're all shocked. Well, I get my shock face when they win a match.
Yeah.
I would think that what's happening right now is really nothing new to anybody who's in the business and understands how like the WWE works.
Yeah.
So I don't know necessarily that they look at Gallows and Anderson. Oh, I guess maybe Gorillas of Destiny takes one look at Anderson and Gallows and says,
no, thank you.
I don't really want that for us.
Yeah.
At the same time, those guys, they might look at the Usos. You know, there's some similarities in their look anyways. And they might look at them and say, well, they're tag champs and they're doing really good work over there. So, you know, it's a good paycheck. It all depends on what they want out of business. I would also
think, you know, when you achieve a certain level of success, whether it be in the Indies or Ring of Honor or New Japan, I mean, the thought has to cross your mind, well, can I do this in the largest stage of all?
Yeah. Totally.
Can I go to WWE and make this kind of impact?
Yeah.
I would think the competitor and people would think, okay, I want that challenge. I want to try to do that. I want to see if I can do that.
Yeah.
So I would guess regardless of how WWE may treat some people that came over from New Japan, you know, if someone's just hyper competitive and wants to see if they can prove their mettle in WWE, they're going to do it.
I mean, look, you can look at it this way. So, Finn Balor was the first Universal Champion. Shinsuke Nakamura, they're treating like a freaking star. And Gallows and Anderson walked into WrestleMania as the Raw Tag Champions.
Also, I believe both Gallows and Anderson said they were totally cool changing their names coming to WWE.
Oh, no kidding.
I think AJ was too.
AJ, there, thank you, AJ. Former WWE Champion, biggest face on SmackDown.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. If I'm in New Japan, I might be thinking, man, They get those guys perfect. You know? It's like we watch it every week. We analyze it. We see all the losses that Anderson and Gallows take. But Anderson and Gallows, not like they're the clones.
Yeah.
It's not like they're going to be released anytime soon. They can be main eventers and legitimate contenders for the tag titles at a moment's notice. There are certain acts that can be legitimate main eventers
and on a moment's notice. And also, we as observers of this product have a completely different perspective of the product of those who are actively participating in it.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah. I mean, you know, Gorillas of Destiny might look at Anderson and Gallows' guaranteed downside and be like, I don't give a shit. You can job me on all I want. I get that money guaranteed. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could be the thing, too. It's like, well, you know, it's just stories. It's just like what Vince's whim is. How much are you going to pay me? Okay, great. Yeah, sure. I'll go do that.
Yeah.
And on top of that, there's the challenge of seeing if you can succeed on that stage.
Yeah.
Big Bose man, number one fan, Jimmy Alpha. I've been thinking, it says Bose, not Boss.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about what Cena said about being a free agent so he can take on the very best. Does this make you optimistic at all about Rusev in the future, being that he's Cena's first pay-per-view match?
Not really.
Not really. I think that Rusev is in a very good spot job security-wise.
Yes.
Especially with Lana there because they love Lana.
Yes.
But I think they like Rusev too. For Rusev to be the guy who will go in against celebrities, who will go in against Cena the part-timer, who will be a legitimate upper mid-card guy and then can even flirt with the main event scene.
Yes.
I think that's a really good spot. Not everybody can be a main eventer. Not everybody's going to have the Universal title or the Bruno title.
Yeah.
Not everybody's going to do that.
Yeah. And I think Rusev has also proven himself to be a reasonably versatile performer.
Yeah, absolutely. He can do a lot of things for a guy who on the surface seems like he could be one-dimensional.
Yeah.
He's got a lot going on for him. So, and I think they understand that.
Yeah. Shinshasa. Hey guys, love the show. Do you think we would ever see Brock Lesnar going back to his old movesets instead of repeated German suplex followed by an F5? No, not at all. This is Brock Lesnar now.
Yeah, no. Brock Lesnar cashes those checks and he doles out German suplexes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. Yeah. Penultimate Tommy Wiseau. Not an NXT 205 Live question.
It was from that question thread.
Okay. He says, while rewatching CM Punk's pipe bomb, I started to wonder if there's anything you would change about the Summer of Punk.
Yeah, don't have him lose a Triple H.
And when he won at Money, the biggest thing for me was, and I know for you too.
Oh, yeah. Won at Money in the Bank, defend the belt other places.
Yes.
That'd been brilliant.
That would have been so cool. Could you imagine if he showed up at like Supreme Pro Wrestling, like that level of a place?
No. It should be, you know, like all the kind of relationship that WWE apparently has with Progress and ICW. If they could have fostered those kind of relationships with American independent promotions,
mm-hmm.
small.
I know.
Smaller.
Yeah.
That would have been pretty cool.
I know. And he would have been so on board that. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. Mm-hmm.
Could have made for an interesting story.
Imagine
but
him defending the title in a backyard wrestling match.
I don't know if he'd want to go that far with it.
That would have been great. That's what we should have asked those fellows over there at 2K18. Backyard wrestling.
Yes.
That's what we want.
That's what we would like.
Start off there in career mode.
Yes. Matt's broken hat. Hey, friendo, has been trying to get your feelings on this for a while. Do you guys think if Roman didn't get injured while he was still hot after the Shield breakup, he wouldn't be in such bad shape with the fans? He was a big pop guy. Even stuff like the suffer and succotash line got over for him.
I don't think it did.
No, I don't think it did. If the fans did eventually turn on him, when do you think it would have happened? Him getting hurt, he had that hernia,
mm-hmm.
Certainly didn't help him. But he was hot after the Shield broke up, and then once it was plainly obvious that he was getting pushed to the top of the card without really putting in the mileage beforehand, mm-hmm. I think that's when the audience started to resent it a little bit.
Yeah.
And yeah, the suffering succotash lines.
I don't remember that.
Did not help him at all.
It was. I think it was. You know what? It was a combination of when people started realizing that he was getting pushed. A And B, when it was plainly obvious that, or when we heard rumors anyways, that Vince was writing his promos for him and that's why they were so bad. Like, it just did not fit who he should have been. I think that sort of combination of things really sort of put him down, at least in a lot of fans, in a lot of fans' heads. And then they just keep on doing this stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they had have gone, man, could you imagine if he was the one who turned?
Yeah, I said that before. If he was the one that turned. If they had switched him in Seth, their spots.
He would have been massive. Lee, your friend from across the pond, Fox. Hey there, friendos. Do you think that Enzo and Cass Angle should have had Enzo win the tag titles with someone else rubbing Cass's face in what he sees as Enzo's fault? Or do you see this feud with Big Show going somewhere?
Apparently Cass said after the last pay-per-view that Enzo was in his past.
Mm.
So I'm guessing that was it.
Man.
And he's off to get into a feud with Will.
Yeah, I know. But if Will's there, then Enzo's going to be there.
You think so,
because they have an established thing. So, yeah, I don't know, man. That's sad. I don't know what my future holds. Get off this bus. Oh, no. I wasn't doing nothing. Leonidas Maximus Titanicus. Are you all going to edit your Going in Raw intro video? When Miz went to Raw, you edited it to have Miz say Raw.
Raw!
Raw. Now that Enzo and Cass have broken up, are you going to do something with Cass, such as edit out his face or edit in Cass hole written on Cass's forehead? Leonidas, you overestimate my editing abilities.
Yeah, the magic of editing only goes so far.
I had really thought, and I still might do it, pixelating Cass's face. I might do that still.
Would it be possible? We'll have to check. Zoom in, so it's just all on Enzo the whole
time. No, it isn't, and I forget why. Maybe it was because the shot changes. Maybe it's possible,
or we'll just cut that part out since it is a long intro.
Oh man, people would revolt. I think there are people in the comments who are like, "Get rid of that Enzo intro because it's annoying." But I think for every one of those, there's probably like 10 who like, that's just part of it. It's how it is.
No, I know. It just takes a while for the show to get going.
Oh,
it's been almost a year.
No, I know. Look, man, if we get another opportunity, I'll put it this way.
If we get another opportunity to get more people shouting out the show, then we'll redo the whole intro.
Yeah. And if we don't, we'll just go back. We'll kill the intro. I mean, we'll go back to just the musical bit of it. Maybe we'll keep that for like going in review or something, just for the retro aspect of it. I don't know. But I mean, you know, we have all those bits, and I'd hate to get rid of them all, but we can do something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, we have some video questions.
We do.
Nice. You guys, the $20 a month Patreon mark can get your video questions here on the show. First up from Adam Fella with another video question.
See what Adam has to say.
Hey, friendos, it's your six-star savior and Discord club leader, Adam Fella here, returning for another video question. And you, Stephen Marson, are cordially invited to the Going In Raw Discord-organized Friendo Fantasy Football League. Maybe you want to join, maybe you don't, but had to get that out here, and hopefully you and other friendos can join us. Right now, we are 8 members strong at the time of recording. But got to get to the question. My question is, if you were to have a 5-person football team consisting of wrestlers who are not football players before they were wrestlers, that was a mouthful, who would those 5 wrestlers be? Thanks, friendos. Take care.
Thank you, Adam Fella.
Thank you, Adam Fella.
So Adam Fella wants to know, are we interested in Discord Club Fantasy Football? Larson's a yes.
No, I'm already in the fantasy football thing.
You are?
Yeah, we are every year.
Oh, I thought you meant something in addition to...
Oh, no.
The one Ulysses organizes.
You got one? That's all I want to do.
I'll do both.
You do what you do.
Count me in, Adam Fella, and Ulysses, I'm still in.
Okay, sounds good.
His question, though, is... Make a 5-person football team made of wrestlers who didn't actually play football. I would guess people that, like, we knew Roman Reigns played football. The Rock played football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Goldberg did.
Yeah. So, not them.
Okay. Okay. I feel like Kevin Owens could be an offensive lineman.
Okay.
Or from his girth.
Otis from Heavy Machinery. Same.
Okay, offensive there you lineman. Go. Yeah.
He has quick feet. That's good.
Braun's too tall.
Yes.
So, like, Braun wouldn't be a good
football. He'd be a good defensive lineman. Thinking passes.
Knockdown passes. But he wouldn't wear helmets or pads.
No.
Just wear his Braun gear.
So, that's 3. We need some, like, a running back or a receiver
like
and a quarterback.
AJ Styles could probably be a running back.
I feel like he played football.
I think he did, too. Maybe that's where I'm getting that from. He was a receiver, I think.
Maybe.
John Cena, quarterback.
All right.
We need 2 more. Lana in lingerie football. Is that still a thing?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think so. I don't know, though. Who's someone that's really fast?
Dog Ziggler in the Puppy Bowl.
There you go. Who's someone who's really fast?
What about Cedric Alexander?
Okay.
Cedric Alexander. Wide receiver.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. Another video question from Alexander Carenti. Let's see what Alexander has to say.
In the Raw Tag Team Division, there's a definite lack of babyface tag teams. Enzo and Cass broke up. Golden Truth broke up. Really, all that you have left is the Broken Hearties and Slater and Rhino. So who's the next babyface tag team to go after Sheamus and Cesaro? Because the Broken Hearties look like they're getting into a feud with the Revival. Is it Slater and Rhino? Or could they turn the club face? If you haven't had the chance, watch their ride-along, Gallows and Anderson's. And watch Talking Shop with Chris Jericho. Those are hilarious. And Gallows and Anderson, in my opinion, are 2 of the most underutilized guys on the main roster. Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Alexander. What do you think about a club face turn? Yes.
Yeah, no, I think we've talked about that a little bit. No, yeah. I think it totally makes sense for them. Crowd would be huge behind them. They need wins to do it.
You could do a storyline about them realigning with Finn Balor.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'll be good stuff.
That'd be really great. I love that idea. I'm definitely an advocate for that. Jordan Carter has a question.
Hey, friendos. So SummerSlam marks the first year of wrestling for me. And I think I've been pretty lucky with the quality between New Japan and WWE. So my question for you guys is, what is your best year of wrestling as a fan? Let me know. Thanks.
Thank you, Jordan Carter.
Thank you, Jordan Carter.
I mean, wow. in some respects, this year has been the best year as a wrestling fan because this is the year I really started watching New Japan, started getting into Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. In terms of really enjoying the breadth of pro wrestling, this has easily been the best year in terms of just as a fan marking out the moments. That's a different question entirely.
Yeah, honestly, I hate saying this, but I agree. Like this year, because especially with New Japan, I've marked out more for that than I have for WWE stuff in a while.
The only thing I think of, at least in recent memory, is what, 2013 when Daniel Bryan was getting.
Oh yeah, whenever CM Punk was out, was that 2011?
Yeah,
2011. I marked out a lot for CM Punk.
But then, you know, both those years, we were pretty much only watching WWE's product.
Yeah.
I mean, just think this year. We've been to WrestleMania. We went to a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla show. Yeah. We saw the two New Japan shows. We went to an independent show in here in Sacramento.
Dude,
we've been to Raw and to Payback.
Yeah, and if you go back, I mean, even if you go back...
Two Raws.
12 months.
NXT.
If you go back like 12 months from now, or from, you know, 12 months ago, like, let's say the second half of 2016, the second half of 20, or the first half of 2017.
Yeah, it's insane.
I mean, SummerSlam, all that stuff, you know? So... In terms of being a wrestling fan and being able to experience wrestling things, it's been the last 12 months by far.
Yeah.
Having my career be pro wrestling podcast. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then, I mean, 98, I marked out a lot because it was Stone Cold.
Mm-hmm.
It was the year of Stone Cold.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was probably, that was hot. And then each subsequent year got sort of less hot.
Yeah.
And then Punk happened. And then now happened.
Yeah.
So, but... Honestly, the New Japan stuff, like being up late at night for Wrestle Kingdom and marking out as much as I did, and then watching Dominion, marking out as much as I did, going to the G1 in USA special, marking out as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just New Japan alone had me marking out more than I have in a long time.
Yeah.
And then add to that AJ Cena at SummerSlam last year, all the stuff we've seen this year, all the little shows we've gone to. It's hard not to say that 2017 was a big, big year for us as wrestling fans.
Yes.
Yeah. And as wrestling fans, we're closing the show now.
Yes.
So thank you very much for tuning in. This weekend, we've got some good stuff. We've got a count out where we talk. What are we talking about? Count out?
Talk about titles have changed hands at house shows.
Oh, yeah. Shocking house show title changes. And then for going in raw view, we're watching Nitro from September 25th, 2000. We apologize in advance. It's a lot of Vince Russo.
Too much.
And then Monday, we've got live.
Yes.
Going in Raw live. Be sure to check that out. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.